Amen. Amen. Sermon text is a shorter portion of what we read in the scripture lesson. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The sermon title is The Gift of Adoption, or Receiving a Double Gift. And so the question that we're answering today is, why did God send forth his son? In other words, why did he send his son as a representative or as an apostle? The word translated send forth is to apostle. And in our passage, the writer, Paul the Apostle, uses the hina clause, which introduces a purpose. In other words, he did this in order to do that. In mind here is the unique and wonderful salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent to bring. And salvation definitely is a gift. It's a twofold gift. And Christmas is definitely a time to celebrate the giving of that gift. Amen. Now, there once was a dad who said, I have a talent where I can see inside wrapped Christmas presents. It's a gift. And did you know that the letter E is the only letter in the alphabet that gets a Christmas present? The reason the others don't is because the rest of the letters are not E. Naughty. All right, never mind. And the sweater my wife got me for Christmas kept picking up static electricity, so I took it back to the store and exchanged it for another free of charge. Oh. All right, that's enough of that. So, salvation is a gift. And Christmas is time to celebrate that gift. And the main point for the sermon today is God sent his son to give us a wonderful double salvation. Jesus was sent as a representative, a delegate from God for two very important purposes: to redeem sinners and receive sons. And by sons, I mean sons and daughters, because that's Bible-inclusive language. We'll have to just read that there. Jesus was sent first to redeem sinners. You see, a debt needed to be paid. And all of us were under the curse of the law. The law demands perfect obedience, which Adam didn't do, and we under Adam didn't do. And Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And so the law requires perfect and perpetual obedience, something that Adam didn't do, and something we, following after him and being represented by him, and then even in our own attempts, could not do. We could not give the perfect obedience which the law demands. And so what we could not do, weak as we were through our sinful flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He had flesh, but his flesh was not sinful. And he was like us in all ways, the Bible says, except without sin. And so God sent Jesus to pay the ransom price. Also from Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so when Christ hung on the cross, he was paying the price, the ransom price that we could have paid and would have paid if he didn't pay instead of us. And so because of Christ, if we trusted him, we became redeemed sinners. Amen. And this is because of God's justice and mercy. He is just and the justifier of those who have faith in Christ Jesus. And that would have been great. And that would have been just and merciful. But God does more. He not only redeems sinners, he also receives us as sons and daughters. Why? Because not only did a debt need to be repaid, a relationship needed to be restored. And so we were estranged sons and daughters, and we needed to receive adoption. And so how did God do that? Well, in Galatians 4:6, it says, and because you are sons, God sent forth, another sending forth, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is Aramaic for Papa or Daddy. Maybe some of you growing up use the word Baba. I've been called Baba and Babu by grandchildren. And there was a need. The need was for redemption. The need was for adoption. And God provided both. Provided redemption and adoption through the sending of his son. And so our passage says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law, in order to redeem those who are under law, in order that we might receive the adoption as sons. And so Ellicott says, the admission of the believer into the messianic kingdom with its immunities from sin and from law implies an admission into the messianic family of which God is the Father and Christ is the eldest son, firstborn among many brethren. And so brothers and sisters, welcome to the family. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the messianic family. Yes. And this family wasn't plan B. This was God's idea from eternity. Remember, there was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And then there was God's idea of predestining a people for adoption as sons. And so bless our God. Ephesians 1:5 says, who predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So absolutely praise the glory of his grace for our being predestined to adoption as sons and daughters in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And so what? Well, the answer to so what is we are no longer slaves of sin, no longer slaves of self, no longer slaves of the world, the flesh, or the devil, but now in Christ we are sons, beloved sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Galatians 4:7, need to say it again. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. So what do we own in Christ?
Everything.
Everything that is Christ's is ours because we are in him. It's beyond our imagination. But there it is in God's word. We are heirs of God through Christ. So what did you get for Christmas? Everything. Everything. Isn't that amazing? And so, how do we access this sonship? Well, we need to receive the gift of double salvation in Christ. Because the gift is given, but it needs to be received. You know, the presents, they're all under the tree, but you have to grab a present and tear it open and then utilize it. Amen? And the way we tear the present open and use it is by faith. And so we need to receive that gift. And the way we receive the gift, one way of putting it, is we need to cry. C-R-Y. Confess. Confess, Lord, I have sinned against your law. I deserve eternal death of hell. But Jesus became a curse for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. And so we confess our sin and confess our need for a Savior. Amen? Amen. Then we receive. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, because you promised, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. John 1:12. And then lastly, why? Yield to his leading, yield to his spirit. Lord, please lead me and please show me what to do, and I will follow you. And I will follow your word. As Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Amen. Amen. And so, cry out, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, yield to him. And then also, if you already have trusted in Christ, rejoice in your sonship in Christ. Also in Galatians 4:26, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout. And so there's a sense where we need to rejoice in our sonship in Christ. Also from Galatians 5, stand fast in the freedom that you have in Christ. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. The danger is that we would trust in our own works and not in the free grace of God in Christ Jesus. And so it's for freedom that Christ set us free. And so stand fast in the freedom that you have in Christ. And then also in Galatians 5, we need to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It's possible for the believer to still walk like a slave in the land. It's possible, but it's not recommended. And so I need to urge you to walk in the Spirit, because as you walk in the Spirit, then you will have freedom and you will be able to stand fast in the freedom that you have in Christ. And so, beloved, walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Amen? Amen. And then I encourage you also to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. Also from Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And so, beloved, what a great time to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. And then also, since you are sons and God has shed forth his Spirit into your hearts, call on your Abba Father. Do you call God the Father your Abba, your Papa, your Daddy? Well, in Christ, that's what the Scriptures says he is. He is your Abba. And so God sent his Son to give us a wonderful double salvation. He came to redeem sinners and to receive sons. And so, beloved, thank God that we're called beloved in him. Let's walk in all the freedom of redemption and sonship that we have in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And Merry Christmas. Amen. Well, we have one more song, but I think we need to light candles before we sing it.